Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EP. And if you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we're visiting with Dr. Dennis T. Jaffe, who has been a leading architect of the field of family enterprise consulting and is an acclaimed speaker and workshop leader in programs for business families and financial service firms. Dr. Jaffe is a research associate at Wise Counsel Research and leads their 100-year family enterprise research program. His book is Borrowed from Your Grandchildren, The Evolution of 100-Year Family Enterprises. And Dr. Jaffe, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And equally delighted to have you with us today. I'm sure we're going to learn a few things from you per your expertise and experience. So for starters, tell us why study long-term family businesses and what's so special and important about them.
Well, if you go into the media, there are all sorts of accounts of, kind of dysfunctional families and family feuds and family next generation heirs that spend all the money and are irresponsible. And so this is the media view that we have of family business. And I've been working in this field for a long time, and I had a very, very different view. I worked with large families that had been in business together or having a family office together for many generations, and I saw them very differently. And so I wanted to write about these families that are extraordinarily successful, and they don't want to be as public. They're not. They're very private. They don't want to share their stories, and therefore the good news and the really exciting things that families do to help each other and to create a good business family are kind of not generally known. So I wanted to tell their stories, and so I went out, and over the past 7 years, I've interviewed 100 families that are past the third generation and that are substantial, approaching $1 billion plus net worth, and that have a shared identity as a family. And what I've done in the book is tell their stories and what they do and how they link what they do to how they're being successful.
And that's pretty awesome information right there, and makes a lot of sense as well. Now, taking that even further, I understand you've interviewed 100 large global family businesses that had been together for more than three generations. As a successful family and business, there are so few of these, even though they are large and important. Why even study those? Why take the time to do so?
Well, so people are saying, well, how do you run a successful family business? And how do you teach your kids to be responsible? And how do you create a sense of social responsibility? And so I wanted to study the best families, and this was the definition that I looked at: families that have been together a long time and that had been successful as both a family and a business. These were families that didn't just create wealth once and then spend it, but continually created value. And I wanted to know what made them tick, so that families that are in the first and second generation can look at their example and say, gee, these are some things that we can do. These are things that really can make a difference and can prepare our little family business or our second generation family business to be a long-term family.
Now, another question for you. You say these families are generative value creating. What do you mean by that?
Well, it has two meanings. One is the kind of the myth about family business is some wealth creator creates a fortune, and then all the other generations and kids spend it down until there's nothing left. That's far from the truth. So these families, first of all, they created great wealth once, but the second and third generation also did things to create wealth. But the really important idea about generativity is they create value, not just wealth. And the value that the family wants to create is often non-financial. For example, they want to create value by having a positive impact in the community. They want to create value by having a productive young generation. They want to create value by having innovative and exciting businesses that do good in the world. So these are kind of non-financial sources of value. And in a family business, the family owners are not a bunch of strangers that are getting together to make as much money as they can. The family owners are related to each other, and they care about each other, and they have common values, and these values go beyond money to other kinds of things. So that's the difference that I saw in these family businesses that make them very different from public corporations. They're also different because the family businesses, and this is where my book title, Borrowed from Your Grandchildren, comes from. These families are not primarily interested in short-term profits. They like profits, and they take some profits out and have a good lifestyle, but they see themselves as what we call stewards, that they are using the asset and the business, but they have a responsibility to leave it in better shape than they found it for their children and grandchildren. So the stewardship mentality makes them very different kinds of owners than people that are kind of want as much immediate return as they can, and they often loot the future, in order to have short-term returns rather than create something that's viable over many generations.
Certainly do appreciate all the information and insight. It is most helpful today. We are joined by Dr. Dennis T. Jaffe, PhD, a research associate at Wise Counsel Research, and leads their 100-year family enterprise research program. His book is Borrowed from Your Grandchildren, The Evolution of 100-Year Family Enterprises, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, we also hear about shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves, and about how families sell or lose their business, and other negative stories about family business. Your generated families you report are resilient. What does this mean? Get into some of the details there.
Well, first of all, while many, many families obviously follow the shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves prophecy, and they do lose their money, and very few businesses succeed over two or three generations. But so these families, by definition, are exceptions. They're fabulously wealthy in the third generation and fourth generation, as well as having been wealthy in the first generation. So they're generative in the sense that they're building wealth for the future. Now, I am studying families, and this is a very important point. I'm looking at the evolution of families. And these families, over the generations, for example, by the second or third generation, half of the families said, you know, we had this wonderful business, but it's not making the same profit, or its technology is obsolete, or it's just not something that we want to run. So half of the families have sold their family business. Others have hired a non-family leader to lead it, and they've diversified into other areas. So what I've seen in these 100-year families is they're continually reinventing themselves. They're always not just coasting on what they did well in the past, but encouraging the next generation to come up with new ideas. So they're continually innovating. They sell the business. They buy other businesses very often. They diversify into investments. They may create a socially responsible investment fund. Almost all of them create an extensive family foundation. So by the third generation, they're not a business. They're what we call family enterprises. They're multiple enterprises. So the family has to manage many different things, not just one single business.
Also, another question for you. In what ways did you find that these families managed to grow and innovate over generations, and how do they build innovation into their family culture? I'd be curious about that perspective rather than just feel comfortable with their considerable wealth.
Well, this is one of the most interesting things that I found that I didn't expect and isn't generally seen about families. So the the thing about family businesses is they become more professional and more rational over the generations, and they hire advisors, and they do very good, very organized and effective things, but they're not terribly innovative. And yet these 100-year families were incredibly innovative. And what I saw is that the older generation had made a great contribution, but they weren't in on the new world, and they weren't digital people, and they weren't global people, and they didn't really see new ideas. So there were the old values, there were the professional advisors and professional managers, and then there was a new force coming up in these families, and this is incredible. It was the third and fourth generation young people, and these young people studied all over the world. They were looking for something meaningful to do with their lives. They were encouraged by the family to work and to be productive rather than to just live off the family's earnings. And they came in the family and they said, in order for this family to be meaningful for me, it has to do something that I consider important, not what grandpa thought was important. And so they take the business in new directions. They invest in new businesses. They look at sustainability and environmental causes, and they the third and fourth generations of these families are what I call opportunists and innovators rather than just being interested in the status quo. And I think most people kind of assume that the third generation and fourth generation just wants to coast on their parents and grandparents' achievements, and doesn't really understand that these people have grown up with wealth, and they want to do something that's important and meaningful. They don't want to just continue and cash checks and just see things go the way they've always gone.
Well, certainly appreciate that report. That is quite interesting. And I actually, if you had asked me, I would have never have come to that conclusion that was going on. So that is really promising to hear for the millennial generation that we have out there in the market. As we conclude today, we hear all about how the young generations of family business are entitled or not well equipped for leadership. What did the families in your study manage to develop successful leadership and commitment for several generations?
Well, so this is these families, all families say, well, I want to raise my kids to be productive and not to be entitled and not to be spendthrifts, but to really be responsible and frugal. What these families do is what I call investing in the next generation. They take some of the money that they've accumulated and they invest it in having regular gatherings of their family, in teaching and interesting the family members in the young family members in what the family is doing, in educating them, in sharing information, in setting up a group of values that is around what do we expect of the next generation, not what are you going to get, but what do we expect of you. And so they set up a community and a culture where the family is becoming responsible stewards. Not entitled consumers. And these families realize that that's a tall order and it's difficult and you can't control your kids. But they find a way to set up an environment where they don't make the kids do join and get involved with the family. They make it exciting and meaningful for them to do it by listening to them, by dialoguing, by supporting them responsibly in new ideas, and by creating an environment where the values and the impact of the family is expressed, so that they create a situation that what I call recruits the next generation to be involved. They don't demand try to control them.
Dr. Jaffe, really appreciate your joining us here today, and quite informative. And really have appreciated your visit with us here today. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
Yeah, so family is, there's millions and millions of family businesses around the country and around the world. And most of them are small, and most of them are into the first and second generation. And what I find is that hearing the stories of successful long-term and large families, it isn't just kind of, well, those are not like us. People can really benefit from the kinds of things that these large, successful families do, and can set up an environment and a culture where their own families create wonderful things in their second and third generation. So this is a study about a certain kind of people, but it's something that all family businesses can learn from.
And this information certainly should excite quite a few folks tuning in. It certainly is motivational and inspirational as well, and we thank you for joining us here today once again. If listeners wanted to get more information on your book, pick up the book, or get more information on yourself, where's the best place online to do so?
Well, there are bookstores and independent bookstores, but there's also the giant Amazon and e-books. So it's available on Amazon and on Kindle. And I have a website, Dennis Jaffe, my name, .com. And I have a lot of articles and resources that families can download that help them, guide them and provide, kind of support and learning for family businesses. So I have a lot of things that you download. All of it is non-commercial, by the way. I don't charge for articles. Amazon charges for the book, but the articles and things on my website are all there to download.
Nothing like free added resources. Again, Dr. Jaffe, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
Great. Well, thank you very much for featuring me and for giving me an opportunity to talk about this work that I really deeply believe in.
Well, it certainly was our pleasure, and thank you so much. We've been speaking with Dr. Dennis T. Jaffe, PhD, a research associate at Wise Counsel Research, and leads their 100-year family enterprise research program. Again, his book is Borrowed from Your Grandchildren, The Evolution of 100-Year Family Enterprises. And for further details and for contact, visit DennisJaffe.com. And of course, this link will be added within the show notes of this broadcast for further help. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.